Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lord, don't slow me down. Welcome to the Football Ramble, everybody. Leicester win the FA Cup for the first time, and the Liverpool goalkeeper scored for the first time. It's Monday, 17th of May. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Happy Monday, everybody. What a marvellous Monday it is for you, for me, and for Brother Brendy.
Brother Brendy.
Yeah. Crossed the verge.
He has crossed the verge officially. I mean, listen, someone in this room called it.
Yeah.
You said he was on the verge.
I did.
About 3 years ago.
What a prediction, Jim.
Yeah. It's a wide verge, isn't it?
Yeah. With many, many options for trophies.
Marcus Stradamus.
Yeah. I just thought he's got a good record in finals, as he reminded us in the post-match interview. Yeah.
Leicester bloody haven't.
Yeah.
Have they? Leicester.
Well, League Cup.
Yeah. Still not great.
Yeah.
Well, that's FA the take Cup. Home. Still yeah. Not great.
FA Cup, but I mean, obviously, you'd be foolish to take anything away from them now.
You would be. I mean, it was such an incredible moment for them, and there was a lot of joy for Leicester. Also, I think for neutrals as well. So much so that a goalkeeper scoring a beautiful injury time header probably will have to wait until the second half.
Yeah, we might see if we get round to it, Liverpool fans.
Yeah. Don't worry, we will. We promise. But we have to go to the FA Cup final, of course, Jim Bob. And like Ian Wright, are you really jealous of that ownership of Leicester City?
I am, yeah, because they've got nice billionaires.
Yeah.
They've got a good one.
Yes, and they promote...
We've got a parasite one.
And they promote a country which people actually do go on holiday to.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like that, doesn't it? There's a lot of kind of like... this underdog story when it's like Leicester are third and Chelsea are fifth. Like
I mean, the narrative is though that, I mean, it's a bit like with Manchester City reaching the Champions League final. They've never won the competition. I understand the billions and the millions and whatnot have got into it.
Yeah.
But there's still, I think, for a first time winner, you can't, you have to see a little bit of the romance and dare I even say the magic of the FA Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a little bit like, it's like comparing a feat of strength from the Hulk to Bruce Banner with City, isn't it? It's like,
yeah, I know what you mean.
That which you're came before is different. The context is different.
You're saying that we should hear more from Bruce Banner?
Yes.
What's he doing every day? Maybe Bruce Banner, when he's not the Hulk, is doing some pretty amazing things. We just don't hear about them.
Just trying to stay calm.
Yeah.
But obviously, he's not going to match those sort of feats of strength, is he?
No, but if Bruce Banner went and... You know, I don't know. Did
won the FA Cup.
No, maybe just like rescued a kid from a burning building.
Yeah.
People are going to say, well, you know, why weren't you Hulk? He could have smashed the building down and rescued everyone. He could say, well, hang on a minute, I managed to rescue that baby and I didn't even get angry. You know, but no one's given me any credit for it. And that's what Leicester are like here.
Oh, it's, okay, so does Bruce Banner, does he live at Filbert Street?
Yeah, in this analogy, analogy goes, yeah, okay, yeah, right, sort okay, of. Yeah.
It's got a bit muddled somewhere, isn't it? But.
Indeed. Well, I mean, it was... the way the game panned out, of course, it was a bit of a stalemate. Two sides, well matched. You know, Chelsea, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because you immediately think, well, Chelsea are the favourites here because of the pedigree in the competition, because of the players they've have.
And the form, trophies. And the form.
Well, and the form as well. They're in the Champions League final, but Leicester are higher than them in the league. A lot riding on the game this week, of course. But it was a real kind of a bit of a stalemate. There wasn't too many chances. I thought it was quite an absorbing counter.
It was,
and you thought to yourself, the old cliche, it's going to be a mistake or a piece of magic. And my goodness, we got the latter.
It was a piece of magic. It was a beautiful goal.
Oh,
a lovely
And we know what he's
goal.
Like, old Yuri. The way he strode forward, you're thinking, go and have a pop. A bit, oh, he has as well.
He's such a good player. And, yeah. and I know this is maybe a little bit of a silly thing to say because everyone knows to an extent how good he is. He is a bit underrated, though.
Yeah.
Because there's much more... There are much famous, more famous players in the Premier League that get a lot more of the applause.
Well, it's partly because he went to Leicester, I think. Yeah. People thought, oh, okay, maybe he's not that sort of top
tier.
Yeah, he's not going to be like playing in the Super League anytime soon. Neither is anybody. But I think that was the point. And again, we've made this point.
It's the kind of signing you can only really get if you've got the 14th biggest revenue in Europe.
Exactly.
Which Leicester have.
Brendan Rodgers in charge.
Or brother Brendy in charge.
But he was crucial in getting Tielemans. I think that he sold the dream and so on. And my goodness, it's become a reality.
I think if you were at your pick of the top 10 Premier League clubs, Marcus, I think you'd fall under brother Brendy spell.
Yeah.
Big time.
And if I would.
And you know, Vardy did another running for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was quite interesting the way that different players on the Leicester side dealt with the occasion, and we can talk a little bit about the potential ramifications in the game that you've mentioned, Marcus, is playing this week against Chelsea, which is really important for their top four aspirations, and whether there'll be a bit of an after the Lord Mayor show about it. I certainly hope not, because I'd like to see them in there.
And that's why the FA Cup final should be the last game of the season. Well, so quite, can have a big old blowout.
Exactly, but if you look at some of the players like Fofana, who played really well, Tielemans played really well. I thought
young Luke Thomas
was great.
My goodness.
But then you had players like Iheanacho who struggled, found it looked like the occasion got to him a little bit. I didn't think Oyozie Perez did an awful lot.
It's so difficult for those attacking players when you're playing against that sort of airtight system.
True. Yeah, fair enough. And Soyuncu, I thought, grew into the game, but had a very shaky kind of opening 20 minutes. And it's not something you see an awful lot in football these days. But, I mean, we're going to come on to another game later where it certainly did happen as well. So, I was pleased for Leicester. I have to say, I've got nothing particularly against Chelsea generally. I'm not one of these people who cares too much about Chelsea. But that video that did the rounds of those arrogant Chelsea fans celebrating the equaliser late on, which then got disallowed, was delicious.
Yeah, I think we should say, by the way, look, Chelsea fans, you know, again, I personally... nothing against, but because of Leicester, you know, having recently been a true underdog, as you say, not now, to see them win it for the first time. So, and it's quite a likeable
side
as well.
Well, you've also got to factor in the idea that the original owner passed away in tragic circumstances.
Completely,
you know, and that affected the squad particularly badly, particularly someone like Kasper Schmeichel, who was deeply affected by it. And, you know, and the current owner, the son of the previous owner, obviously, came down, came down and kind of experienced it and enjoyed it in front among the squad. And it is, regardless of what your overall opinion is about billionaires this and billionaires that, it is unthinkable for the players to bring the Glazers down, the Kroenkes down.
Absolutely.
It wouldn't happen. So there is a difference there.
That relationship they have, isn't it? And it is, you know...
Unless it was some kind of elaborate trap, it wouldn't happen.
Do you think that would be... Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, would that be... We've often said he's been put in difficult positions before with the Glazers and the fans and so on. Would that be the ultimate difficult position if Malcolm Glazer came down... Or not Malcolm Glazer, one of the Glazers came down, you know, arms wide open. Come on, Ollie, hug for the trophy. hug for the cameras.
Yeah,
exactly. He would plead socially distanced.
Maybe. He probably would. I don't know if you've seen the stories doing the rounds about the postcards that were left in the changing room at the beginning of the game. So Brendan Rodgers
using postcards.
He arranged for friends or family members of each individual player to write them a message of good luck on a postcard, which was left on the kit, handwritten. So like,
really
went to town on the detail to get everybody prepared and to make everybody feel, I guess, united in what is a really important occasion because. You know, with what happened last season, I know Leicester fans are probably sick of thinking about it and hearing about it, but, you know, they're still on for the Champions League and they've got the toughest run, haven't they? I think with Chelsea and Spurs coming up in those last two games, that spectre of failure is going to be there. So it's those extra touches have clearly made the difference.
What Thomas Tuchel did instead of the postcards is when they bent over to look at their kit to see they were starting and turned around, as they turned around, he slapped him in the face.
Yeah.
Said, ah.
Do you think it was
not as good?
No.
Do you think the loss is ultimately a triumph over a manager who's dressed appropriately for a cup final?
I thought that was poor. I have to say, I thought that was really fucking poor.
I knew you would.
I was kicking off last week about certain things that need to be sacred, and you mentioned them. The FA Cup final. Someone pointed out to me on Twitter that actually, way back in the day, I think it was 1948, I want to say, the cup final was played among other league games. So there has been a precedent set. But for me, it has to be
When Wigan won the trophy, they then got relegated a couple of weeks later.
Yeah, that's more modern, though.
True.
What I'm saying is that we see the FA Cup final not being held up as special as a modern thing.
Okay,
but it's not always been a modern thing.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, the point is, Tuchel, come on, you can't wear a puffer jacket FA Cup
but
final.
But we know he decks out completely in the blue.
Yeah, but you can do differently. You can do it differently.
Wear a blue suit.
Yeah.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
I thought he might have done that, but he didn't. I mean...
There was a Chelsea, sorry, Max, there's a Chelsea fan that I used to know, and he used to wear a bright blue suit for formal occasions and a Chelsea FC tie. I mean, it's fucking abysmal.
Yeah. Wow, just in his life?
Yeah, like if you go out like to the
like a wedding or something.
Or a wedding. Yeah, and it had CFC in gold letters and lions all over. It's terrible.
Yeah,
but Tuchel could have at least done that.
My goodness.
Yeah. Well, maybe he does. Maybe he's got it
under the
way around.
Yeah. Under the big puffer
formal
jacket.
Occasions. He's really.
Does that not affect you, that?
What do you mean?
The manager wearing a tracksuit.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't mind it during
the cup final, at least.
Yeah, cup finals, but I don't mind during Premier League games.
Oh, tuxedo. I've said this before. I think even the players.
No.
Play the final in a tuxedo.
I'll tell you who would turn up in a tuxedo. It would be Pardew or Phil Brown. That's the type of manager who'd turn up.
I don't mind them. I don't really care what they wear when it's not a showpiece occasion. But it annoys me in the Super Bowl in the US, the coaches all wear the tracksuits and stuff as well. It's annoying.
I don't know.
I remember, we've heard stories before, haven't we, of people getting so into like Football Manager when they got a cup final, they get a suit on, shake hands with the door handles in their houses and stuff.
That is a bit silly.
It's a bit pervy, but I mean, all I'm saying is people are making the effort.
I remember you also saying that you once saw somebody that went to our university spitting at his computer screen because he'd been so upset.
Oh, Tiggy Rainbow.
Tiggy Rainbow, when I went to visit him once.
Promise you that's a real person.
Yeah, I went around his house and he'd been playing Football Manager for like 8 hours straight and he lost the cup final. He's so frustrated, he starts spitting on the monitor.
That's awful business. That is absolutely awful.
You can't do that these days. Not in COVID. No, you should be doing it then.
No, not even in the comfort of your own home. Back to reality though, gentlemen. Lovely to see fans in the ground, Jim. And that really, really added to the occasion.
You see
the Leicester City players celebrating at the end in front of the fans. It was quite emotional for a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. And I quite like the fact that it's this slow release because it sounded like a lot more people than it was. So when we actually get back to properly full ground, it's going to be incredible.
Well, the key difference for me, Jim, was the idea that you get this crowd noise that's pumped in artificially, right? But you can never get it accurately enough to be like, to get an And actually, it was fascinating because the Leicester fans celebrated the VAR overturning like it was a goal.
Oh, my goodness.
And it sounded like a goal.
Yeah. But to get the sounds right, you need to have someone who really, really, essentially can predict the future. And I'm saying it should be Uri Geller.
Keep him away from football.
Yeah. Two things we haven't mentioned thus far are the VAR call and Kasper Schmeichel.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's start with Kasper.
Maybe I'm being too emotional because it's so recent, but the standing save in real time, that's one of the great FA Cup final saves for me. I know it's quite close to him, but
it was
the speed of the reflex.
I thought it was in.
Same. It was a brilliant hit. But
it sort of mounts reaction. You know a player of that quality. What any player, you hit a ball, you're at a certain distance from the goal and you think to yourself, right, that's
going
and when
in.
The keeper plucks it like that, you think, flip it, Nora.
Yeah, I mean, it's brilliant.
The David Seaman FA Cup semi-final save against Sheffield United is a classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in terms of finals...
Well, the classic is the Sunderland one. who makes that, you know, back in the 73.
Double save. Yeah, the double exactly. save. Yeah, I mean, that I mean, was
that,
amazing.
That's a sort of one of the classics, but it's up there.
Yeah,
that's
from
Michael's save.
I can't remember the name of the keeper off the top of my head, but that was from Trevor Cherry and someone else. Uh-huh. Anyway, yeah, I remember that. I don't remember it, but
yeah,
I've
sure,
seen
you're
it.
Aware, yeah.
But the thing Peter Schmeichel did, you're talking about that standing one, which was the first one. Mm. He made one so good after that people forgot about the first one. Because mm-hmm. the second one was such a strong hand.
It onto the post.
Such a vital moment.
I thought the one onto the post was first.
Yeah,
it was. That's what I'm saying. The second one, where he goes to his left to save with a really strong wrist.
That's what the one Jim and I were saying.
That was the best one.
Yeah, that's the one we're talking about.
I want this.
From Mason
yeah,
Mount.
You're just getting too...
I was thinking about David Seaman.
Yeah. Thank goodness you said David. But I think that...
Thinking about John Seaman. Or Phil Seaman, the great jazz drummer.
There he is. So that was amazing. I mean, because again, we hadn't had too many clear-cut opportunities and efforts, really. I mean, the goal, you know, what was the expected goal from that one from Tiella was probably quite low. So then that happens. Of course, Chilwell produced the save, which was sort of hand and post kept him out. Chilwell was getting a bit of booing from the Leicester fans. And then, of course, what happens is the ball's knocked to Chilwell, comes in and is a bit of a bundle. And the ball's in the back of the net. And the way Chilwell celebrated, because I think I was worried that poor old Wes Morgan, who was wisely brought on...
I thought that was brave, yeah. I have to say. I love Wes Morgan, but that was brave.
I have to say, I thought to myself, Rogers, if I was the interviewer at the end of the game, I'd have said, you made all your decisions correctly, apart from one. Yeah. What on earth were you thinking about? On the 77th minute or something you brought him on? That was a kind of a, we're 4-0 up, get yourself some injury time.
Yeah. Yeah.
My goodness. But anyway, I thought it was an own goal.
It almost came back to backfire.
I thought it was an own goal, actually. Yeah. But I think it did come off Chilwell. And the way they celebrated, you were gutted for Leicester. I think the most neutrals would have been.
Oh, because it always feels like it's only going in one direction when that sort of thing happens.
Especially when Wes Morgan had come on. I mean, I think some people were suggesting, well, I wouldn't mind to see him have extra time.
Yeah. Some people, you. It was you.
I never said it was Vish. Oh, no.
Are you graft?
No, I think Vish had seen it on Twitter.
Right.
And he said he was laughing.
Nah, throw Vish under the bus.
No, I can't do that. He's already under. He goes under the bus of his own accord.
Should we not be? Jules is driving it.
Yeah.
Should we not be? Should we not as well show a little bit of solidarity with Chelsea fans because of the tightness of the video?
Well, I was gutted for them actually. Yeah. I have to say that I watched that and I was, you know, again, you're not invested with either side really. Obviously, a neutral preferring Leicester to win, but watching that, the way the celebrations went, and you thought, oh my goodness, because you knew it was a tight one. Mm. As soon as they said it's going to VAR, you thought, this is going to be one of those margins.
Mm, yeah.
And it was. And you thought, this is a cup final. But you know, the rules are the rules, and that's what we're dealing with. So
I mean,
cup final or the sixth in a 6-0 dead rubber, it's the same, of course.
Yeah. It wasn't quite one of those where like an arm hair is offside, though, is it? It was just,
oh, I don't know.
Just in front of that.
I don't know, Jim. It was gutting for those fans to see that. I mean, you'd have been furious as a Chelsea fan. And you saw the sound. You heard the sound of those Leicester fans. Just so relieved. Look, you're smiling away.
I just think it was amazing drama.
The
way that Leicester, the rest of the fans, as I said, celebrated like it was a goal was... It was kind of interesting because we've been so long without fans and that artificial crowd noise we accepted, and it's kind of better than nothing. Although I ended up not watching with it on for a while, but you can't replicate the real thing. And that was only 20,000 fans in total, you know. So under half of that would have been Leicester fans, but they made such a big noise when that happened. It was just quite a weird thing. It was a bit of an overload of the senses, really. Mm. I enjoyed the game.
What did you think of Tuchel's selection? Because the tricky thing for... I understand with Leicester, they have important games now. I mean, that loss against Newcastle. Yes, they won at Old Trafford and they'll be mightily relieved and pleased that they did. But you look at that result against Newcastle, that could really bite them on the arse. But hopefully for their sakes, it won't. But for Tuchel as well, not only does he have games in the Premier League that they need to win, he's also got that Champions League fixture coming
up. It's tough to say.
Is he saving Tammy Abraham for them? Because he didn't make the squad.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought so, no. But it's difficult to say with that because he's got a lot of options, particularly going forward. Mm-hmm. And he started off fancying Alonso, but then starts picking Chilwell. And then he picks Alonso for the cup final, but he has to bring him off. He doesn't really do anything. And then Chilwell gets right amongst it. Yeah. So it just looked like one of those games where perhaps... We're overlaying some meaning because of what happened in retrospect.
Yeah.
He has to manage his team. He's got the Champions League final, as you said. They've got some crucial league games left. I it's easy to be wise after the event. And I know I always say this, and I can't say this in 10 years' time when he's like 50 years old. But I probably would have started with Giroud. I think you have... Werner's not been among the goals. He's been busy. He's been a willing runner. I don't know why they don't play... he doesn't play Giroud more. He's always reliable for goals. He's good in big games. He can really take advantage of some of the other things that those attacking Chelsea players can do. As soon as Pulisic comes on, he's all over the place. Mm. He's really busy. He can deliver a cross as well. Hudson-Odoi comes on. Mm. He can do the same. You know, you've got players who can create a lot of things. And Giroud, who's got so much experience, he can occupy, obviously, a half-fit Johnny Evans, who's really important for Leicester, who ends up going off anyway. Look, I'm not going to say that he got it wrong, because it's easy to be wise after the event, but maybe he could have done something a little bit differently.
Well, you think Kai Havertz, he'd probably be saving. That was my interpretation of that.
But they all end up coming on to try and save the game anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think Havertz will probably start the Champions League final, I would have thought. But we'll see. I mean, he's got decisions to make. But ultimately, they lost the game, of course, and my goodness.
And we've done a big bit on the FA Cup final, a cup final. Not mentioned Kepa.
Not mentioned
so
Kepa.
He can't have done anything wrong.
He's done all right.
He didn't do anything wrong.
No.
Should he have saved that team? No. It was a long way out, wasn't it?
Don't look at his position.
Now, of course, it's another trophy for Jamie Vardy in a Leicester City shirt, apparently. He was playing non-league a while ago, we'd gone cold a little bit. You remember the Jamie Vardy film, Jim?
Yes.
Remember the chat?
I've been
about
wondering
that?
Where is it.
Well, there was one of the chaps who was involved in the making or the creating of this film famously went to the game. I think when they played Liverpool at home, when they went on to win the league, and of course Vardy scored that great volley and whatnot. We thought, oh, here we go, but we're going to have a summer blockbuster on our hands here. Well, the report's saying that plans are being stepped up for the Jamie Vardy film after this victory. Adrian Butchart, who wrote Goal 1 and 2,
nobody wrote three.
You have safe hands, Jamie.
Yeah, nobody wrote three.
Algorithm wrote three.
Everyone just turned up on the set and was
improvised there.
What do you reckon? Will you go over there and we'll have a go? He has previously said that Zac Efron and Robert Pattinson were being considered to play old Vards. I think Louis Tomlinson. Robert
Pattinson?
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Louis Tomlinson of One Direction fame was also in the mix.
Really?
When we did all our...
Zac Efron, come on!
I'd love to hear Zac Efron do a Sheffield accent. I mean, he might be amazing at it. He's a professional actor. He probably would be good at it, but still. Yeah. Pattinson, though, that's my dream choice. Because in the same way Jamie Vardy's my favourite footballer, I think Robert Pattinson might be my favourite actor, because he just lies in interviews. Have you seen that interview where he was doing this interview for a movie called Water for Elephants, right? It's all about the circus. And this American interviewer says, so did you have much of a relationship with a circus when you were a kid? And he was like, well, yeah, actually my dad took me to the circus, but it had to be evacuated because somebody died. And the guy was like, what? Oh God, what happened? It was one of the clowns, like his little clown car, like malfunctioned and exploded, and the clown died. It's like, this didn't happen, did it?
But is he doing it for like a bit of a...
Yeah. He's just entertaining himself.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
That weird interview he did with a magazine in the lockdown as well, where he claimed he was trying to invent a new type of fast food, which
was a pasta
you could hold in your hand. Yes. And he tried to do a demonstration of it and he blew up his microwave.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's blown up a microwave for a gag there, and I respect that.
It's got a lot of cool with Jamie Vardy here.
Exactly.
I think there's a lot of crossover.
He's a lead contender, isn't
he? When we had to do a lot of football movies on the show because there was no football, the one thing we learned was that it's impossible to get the football scenes right if you've not got professional footballers.
Yeah.
And to the point of where, even if you're an average football player, it's very difficult to be filmed for any sustained amount of time and look like a professional footballer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know they have like stunt doubles and stuff, like freestylers stuff, but like you can't really do it. So I've got no confidence at all the film's going to be any good, unless you do what they did with Ali McCoist. Get a footballer to do it and just get him to fudge the acting.
Yeah. Coisty will play Vardy, is what you're saying.
Vardy can play himself. Oh, okay.
I think you need someone who can do a good Sheffield accent. Robert Carlyle. Get old Begbie in there.
The Spell Dog wouldn't be a million miles away.
I would be a million miles away. A million and 1 miles away these days. Gentlemen, there was another big cup final, of course, that happened on the weekend. It was the Women's Champions League final. Another loss for Chelsea. Barcelona, I mean, this was a bit more one-sided, it's fair to say, than the FA Cup. I mean, you can't argue with that. 4-0, my goodness. All four goals coming in the first half. And it's a shame for Chelsea because... Chelsea ladies have been brilliant this season. We've enjoyed the manager and her interviews and whatnot, real character of the game and so on. But when you're just sort of blasted away like that in the first half, it's,
I mean, the first goal was a really unfortunate deflected own goal on about 38 seconds, wasn't it? And at that point, just all your plans go out the window.
Yeah.
and there was a penalty very quickly after that. I think it was just a bit of stage fright, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, and you're playing against a side who have won 26 out of 26. Yeah.
One as well. That's not unbeaten. Yes. That's one every game.
Their record is ridiculous.
I mean, they wrapped up the league title with 8 games to spare, 128 goals and conceded 5. I'm sort of, you know, loath to say, well, what is the competition like? But I don't think it matters because we know this Chelsea side are really good they've wiped the floor with them.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what's going on in Spain. This Barcelona side are phenomenal. It's quite clear to see. But it is a shame, you know, Chelsea, the first English side in the final since Arsenal in 2007.
I watched the game and it's really difficult to come back when you have that situation in the final. So the first goal is really unfortunate. The second goal comes fairly quickly afterwards. All of a sudden you've got a mountain to climb. And when you're playing against a team that are that good and you've got to get back in the game because it's a one-off game, you're going to leave gaps and you're going to find it very, very difficult. And they got punished extensively by a very good team. But having said that, I mean, as Emma Hayes herself said in the post-match interview, she said, look, we prepared as best we could and we didn't sense any nerves among the players, but clearly there were nerves and it was difficult for them to deal with the occasion. It happens, you know, we've seen it happen in many, many times before in big finals. But she also said, look, we're the second best team in Europe. You know, we're moving in the right direction and, you know, good for them. But it was a shame because I was really excited for the game and it was over as a spectacle very early on.
Yeah.
Even though Chelsea actually had quite a few chances and they've obviously got some very good players. But it was just, I mean, that Barcelona team looked like a machine. They really do.
26 out of 26.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4-0 in the final. And I don't want to be disrespectful to the Chelsea side, who obviously worked really hard to get to the final. But I'm not sure how difficult Barcelona even found it.
No.
And that shows how good they are because, as you said, Chelsea are a good team.
Proper invincibles, that.
Yes. Yeah.
What makes you the invincibles? 26 out of 26. and a 4-0 win.
Well, they conceded goals.
Yeah.
Well,
It's not like the old Arsenal men's team back in the day. Oh, yeah, we got knocked out of the cup early, but we're still the invincible.
Yeah, well, that was bestowed on them by the press. So.
And you.
Yeah. And I had nothing to do with
you
it.
You won't let us refer to Arsenal without saying the word invincibles. You've got it written in your contract. Well, Marcus, tell him.
Yeah, I will tell him. What about Rangers, though? I mean, they are sort of invincibles as well in a league sense.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, they beat Aberdeen to finish the season unbeaten on 102 points, which is quite something. They won 32 out of 38, including all 19 home games, you know. So not quite the Barcelona women's team, but still a very, very impressive season. They'll be disappointed they went out of the cups in the quarterfinals, as I say. But when you think about stopping 10 in a row was the job that Gerrard had to do, he did stop it.
Yeah, I think if that happened, again, you know, if that happened now and Arsenal had a season like that where they were unbeaten, I'd feel such a sense of local pride. I'd go right down to Highbury Corner and just smash the shit out of it.
I think that's...
I'd be so proud of my local area, I'd beat it up.
I think that's probably the wise thing to do. I mean, I don't know what the Barcelona women's team's fans did. I don't know if they went down to Las Ramblas and knocked the crap out of the local area and each other. Yeah. But it's certainly what some Rangers fans thought was appropriate.
It's a shame.
My mute button's going to get a lot of extra.
It didn't surprise some people in Scotland.
I think maybe they were just upset about the fact they lost to St Mirren in the League Cup.
Maybe.
Early in the season.
Yeah. Hindsight is a funny old thing.
It's really sunk in now. That defeat in mid-December has really sunk in. Yeah.
But, you know, obviously awful scenes in the centre of Glasgow. Really awful. But, you know, focusing on what Gerrard's done, a magnificent season for him and for the players. And, you know, they've deserved it.
But so. Brother Brendy still has the record, though, right? For the amount of points, is that right?
100, yeah, 100, that was in 2016-17 when they won 34 out of 38.
It's good, isn't it, that?
It's not too shabby.
Still, though, with what Gerrard's done and what Rangers have done this season, it is an amazing way to break that record, isn't it? It's like a hell of a gauntlet thrown down.
It shows you how good Celtic have been in recent years. As you say, they have that record. And, you know, Rangers were in the league when Rodgers took over and they were sort of trying to adapt. I mean, you don't want to be the guy who's in charge of Rangers when Celtic win 10 in a row.
Quite.
Especially when you've had a season or two before, you know. So he's done it. He's done very, very well indeed. So well done to him and to Rangers.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at Sukarnov.
If you're wondering how Ashwood City Football Club dealt with the news of the European Super League, then binge the award-winning mockumentary The Offensive this summer.
I think a few of the players are considering taking to social media.
No, fucking no. Okay, turn off the fucking Wi-Fi for all I care. Tear down the 4G mast.
Patrick, you've got a Zoom call with the other 14 right now.
The 14? What?
The remaining Premier League clubs.
Oh, for fuck's sake, I don't want to talk to those fucking losers.
Or if you'd rather get stuck into a comedy film podcast, why not check out Clash of the Titles? The podcast where two films with something in common go head-to-head to decide which one is better. Their latest episode saw Red Heat up against Tango and Cash.
In both films, I think someone says, where did you learn to drive like that? Which no one ever says in real life. Oh, I had lessons. But a nice callback.
Has your nan asked that, are you? How many times did you take to pass? You passed first time, what about your written test?
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
Which decision in particular annoys you?
Where do you want to start?
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Lovely to have you here with us. Of course, it's time for a Betway 4 to Score update. Entry to Betway's 4 to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. In Game 1, it was Crystal Palace versus Aston Villa. I picked Ollie Watkins. The result was John McGinn. In Game 2, it was Spurs versus Wolves. Vish picked Son Heung-min. The result was Harry Kane. In Game 3, it was West Brom versus Liverpool. Andy picked Roberto Firmino. The result was Hal Robson-Kanu. In Game 4, Everton versus Sheffield United, Luke picked Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And it was Daniel Jebison, the very young Mr. Jebison, of course. Incredible
so
thing.
Shit, yeah. And unreliable Everton. Like, you can never.
I know. Unbelievable.
They're their own worst enemies, aren't they?
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Mm. So we'll be back for another swing in the next round of Betway's Four to Score on the preview show this Friday. Right, everybody, we've got a new email jingle.
Here we go.
This is from Paul Staveley.
I've genuinely not heard
You almost said England jingle.
Yeah, I did. I've not heard it. I assume, yeah. I mean, I don't know if Paul is any relation to Amanda.
Maybe.
But we'll find out.
Oh, maybe. Is this the latest sortie in the battle to take over Newcastle United?
We are a flick of the finger away to finding out. Here we go. Yep, definitely Amanda's brother. Key James. Show at Football Ramble, send your email. Show at Football Ramble, more fun than you can handle. Show at footballramble.com.
I was hoping for another one.
That is good, isn't it?
I just
Paul
can't get enough of that.
Big
Rick Astley vibes.
Yeah, oh, massively.
Well, we requested a bit of 80 synths, didn't we? And my Paul has responded.
He has indeed.
Is this how this works? Can we just go like,
what do you want, Jim? What are you after?
Can you do a trance metal jingle next?
I'd quite like, as you would expect, a bit of a 90s anthemic indie anthem.
Of course you would.
There we go.
Yeah. Do we want an email?
That's why we're here, aren't we? Yeah.
Yeah. So Matt Dykehouse has been in touch. He says, we're all suckers for an outfield player in net, so I thought I would bring your attention to the midweek MLS game between the Seattle Sounders and the San Jose Earthquakes. In the 15th minute, Seattle was called for a handball in the box, but it was ultimately overturned after a VAR review on the sideline. After the review, Seattle went up to the other end of the field, where US international Christian Roldan unleashed a wicked left-footed volley from outside the box to score the game's only goal. Then, in the 90th minute, Seattle keeper Stefan Fry got a nasty-looking hip injury, which required him to come out of the game. The goal scorer, Roldan, went to the manager and volunteered his younger brother, right-back's Alex Roldan, to take over in goal. Alex dutifully took over and even made a save in the 94th minute from a free kick, getting clattered by an opposing attacker for his efforts. It was really funny to see him in the oversized keeper shirt and trying to find gloves to wear. I love that. Yeah. Just getting bossed around by your older brother.
That is great, isn't it? You can definitely see Gary doing that to Fizzer.
Massively.
My younger brother will do it. Really? No, he is in the squad. All right, fair enough. Yeah. So the way he says that is like he's just volunteered his younger brother.
Yeah, especially with the oversized shirt. Maybe they found one? I don't know.
Back in the 90s, the oversized shirt was all the rage.
It was.
And when you look back at it now, you think that was so impractical.
Yeah.
So impractical.
Well, especially as you want a shirt that can't be pulled by the opposition so much, you know, which is why like the Italian Kappa shirts were quite effective.
Also, the idea of you're a goalkeeper, you're diving around, there's going to be a little bit of resistance.
Yeah, exactly.
More friction.
Yeah, that is very, very true, gentlemen. Very, very true indeed. Speaking of, I mentioned him there, old Phil, Fizzer. Yeah. Mm. He's into Miami side. They won!
They did win. They won 3-2 away.
How about that?
Ryan Shawcross played.
Gonzalo.
Higuain got a couple of goals. About time. Exactly. So are we asking for more emails from people about Fizzer Watch?
Yeah.
That we want.
We quite like MLS ones, if you've got anything. Yeah. You know,
if he's been down the beach, is he up to his old tricks?
He'll never gonna,
there's a lot of beach in Miami, I imagine.
He's never going to live that down, not on this show.
Lovely old job. Right, back to the Premier League. Come on. West Brom 1, Liverpool 2. The game will be remembered for a lovely goal by Hal Robson-Kanu. Apparently he hasn't scored since that quarterfinal in the Euro 2016 tournament against Belgium.
Is that true?
No.
I can remember him scoring.
You got me good there.
Yeah.
I was thinking, not even in training.
Yeah. Oh, Alisson.
Beautiful.
What a header. It's one of those ones that obviously Liverpool are now back in, they have been for a couple of games, back in the contention for Champions League spots when people thought, maybe they've dropped out of it. And so there would have been a few fans from other clubs around them watching that thinking, come on, West Brom, do us a favour here.
Yeah.
When that goal goes in, I don't think anybody can begrudge that.
No. I can think of one, man.
Well, yeah. True.
I think West Brom's recent record against Liverpool is actually pretty decent.
Like,
Liverpool don't have a great time of it against West Brom more recently.
The Big Sam effect.
Quite. And it's a genuinely good header as well.
Yeah.
Like, normally you think, because it happens so infrequently, half the time when the goalkeeper goes, like, go on, what's the point of this? You know what I mean? You're just going to mix it up, bit of nuisance value, fine. That was a header of some quality.
Completely.
Showing how good some of the goalkeepers, as footballers are now. We hear a lot about Ederson and about Alisson and about all the rest of it. That was a quality header.
One of the angles from behind the goal, which is the one where effectively the ball comes straight towards the camera, it shows you the accuracy and the power and the intention behind it. It was absolutely superb. Yeah. I mean, it's rare that a goalkeeper even touches the ball when they go up for it, isn't it? So I guess we have no idea what the quality's normally like. But if it's like that, more of it, please.
I don't know about you guys, but it got me angry that he hadn't been outfield more this season. And they've dropped... I mean, if they had played Alisson a little bit more up there, maybe they'd be doing a little bit better.
What is this about, you know, brilliant Brazilian goalkeepers who can play out on pitch or produce moments? Because they always say about Ederson in Manchester City could play...
Yeah.
Well, outfield. He's an amazing passer to the ball, Ederson. Yeah. Amazing.
Roger Senni, he liked the goal.
He did.
Jorge Campos, who was also 5'5".
Yeah, from Mexico.
And crucially not Brazilian.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, but I mean, I just like to talk about him as much as
fair enough
is possible.
It's very true. What was quite enjoyable was Liverpool on Twitter was straight out with the goal Alisson graphic.
I love that.
And it was just quite nice that they already had that ready to go, just in case.
Yeah.
That shows
And it
you.
Had all the match details on it as well, so presumably they did that every match. Well, there's some designer you. Going, finally.
You want to be a top flight club? You want to be invited to Super Leagues and all? You've got to be...
You've got to cover it all off.
You've got to cover it all off. Absolutely right. Yeah, but it was the first time a goalkeeper had scored a competitive goal for Liverpool in their 128-year history. Marvellous. The sixth goalkeeper in the Premier League to score.
Which does seem quite high.
It seems very high.
Six different goalkeepers.
I mean, I remember like Brad Friedel came up for a corner and I think he equalised in the last minute. And then
for Blackburn?
Yeah, possibly. And then they let in a goal at the other end like a minute later, which is quite a shame, which is why maybe you forget that. Paul Robinson was just a big old punt from his
That was a very windy day.
I'm surprised that's only happened that one time.
But no, because Tim Howard did it. A load of them scored from their own half.
Begovic as well.
But the point was the Robinson one. He looked almost embarrassed that he'd scored.
Yeah, I think the goalkeepers' union. There's a bit of mutual respect there. They sort of think I wouldn't want a goalkeeper.
Well, there wasn't yesterday with fucking Alisson. Well, but he's earned the goalkeeper.
But he's earned that though, hasn't he? Yeah. He's earned that. Obviously, Peter Schmeichel scored as well.
Yeah,
he liked.
I remember him scoring more, but it was only once, wasn't it?
No, he scored for Manchester United, but that wasn't in the Premier League.
Right. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
It was for Aston Villa, actually, his goal in the Premier League. Yeah. Despite Alisson's brilliance, Mike Dean managed to put himself into the game's narrative.
Yeah.
He will never, ever be outshone.
No. Was this because he got in the way for the free kick?
He got in the way. Yeah. That was the sort of quite odd decision. I mean,
did he think the ball had hit him?
He must have. I mean, it's the only kind of explanation I can think of.
Yeah. I think it just heat at the moment. Look, everybody makes a mistake, and I was just thinking the heat at the moment. The game's moving quickly. He's probably thought, I've got in a way. Okay, I should blow up there. Whereas actually, it should have been a drop ball, if at all. Really, he doesn't have to, but he can do. I suppose. Allardyce was fuming about Carl Bartley's disallowed goal. Matt Phillips was deemed to be offside by obstructing Alisson's view, which he was.
Well, this fucking. I mean, the fact that you can complain about that is absolute nonsense. I know I'm the one who jumps on the back of Allardyce all the time, but genuinely...
It is the rule, isn't it?
Yeah, if that wasn't offside, then teams would do it all the time. You could just put a player in there who's apparently not interfering with play in whatever phase, and you could do that every game. Yeah, but it has to be offside.
Luke, when you say teams could do that all the time, who do you think would do it most? Whose teams would do that the most often,
exactly,
do you think?
Yeah.
A staggering level of hypocrisy.
Crucially, they'd be
way.
Doing it in the Championship.
Well, he said, didn't he? I forget which rule it was. Maybe it was an offside one, and when that was being ironed out, and it'll... be forever being ironed out the offside rule. Of course, that's the nature of it.
Yeah.
But Allardyce even himself admitted, he said, well, look, if there's, you know, there's a loophole or there's something to be exploited, you know, well, I'm going to do that. I think that was when he was in charge of Bolton.
Oh, I think that joke,
which is fair. Like, yeah,
joke aside, I mean, you'd say they have a responsibility, aggregating marginal gains and all
of
that.
Course,
you need to try and get an advantage. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's a funny rule, though, isn't it? Because sometimes... I suppose it is to stop teams from doing it on purpose, but you do feel like sometimes if like a goalkeeper's been unsighted just by the nature of somewhere of where someone is standing, it's sort of, you just feel a bit like, well, tough luck. But
well, it has
I guess it's to stop it. It has being its
root.
Used.
Well, Jim, it has its root in when they changed the offside law to say if you're not interfering with play, you're not offside. Let the game continue.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had to bring in. By definition, by saying that, they then had to essentially clarify when a player was interfering with play or not.
Yeah.
Because before that, if you're offside, you're just offside, right? Yeah. If the ball come over, well, it's like the old Kevin Keegan classic goal that we used to show in the live show on the big screen. It scores an amazing bicycle kick. There's a guy in the right wing position who's offside, so it's offside. They changed it for that reason, but they have to further clarify what interfering actually means. Mm-hmm. And that, I'm sorry to say, Big Sam, is interfering with play. And it's obvious that it is.
Yeah, it is. Liverpool can guarantee a top four finish if they win at Burnley and against Crystal Palace. Now, Klopp himself had said many months ago, if we finish in the top four this season, it'll be a good season. You have to say, I understand the way they went out to Real Madrid, in that, especially in that first leg, was a bit disappointing. But it is the Champions League. You're playing against Real Madrid and whatnot. But with the players that they have, Van Dijk being the obvious one to injury and so on, you know, Klopp saw with COVID and you know what support they have at Anfield. We talk about other clubs going, oh, well, if they had the home crowd. Well, that is particularly appropriate, I think, for Liverpool. If they can do that, which you wouldn't bet against them doing, Jimmy, it would be considering a good season.
Definitely. I mean,
not a brilliant season by their own standards.
No, but I mean, they've had really trying circumstances, haven't they? They played their midfield as their defence for a lot of the season. That's going to affect anybody. So to still, you know, get into the top four after that would be a massive, massive achievement. And I feel like they could do it. It's interesting, Roy Hodgson in the way in what could be his last game in football.
He wouldn't mind that, would he?
He would not.
That would be.
I don't think Roy's that type of man, is he?
No, probably not. But he wants his team to win. His mind, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But it shows you the importance of that Leicester and Chelsea game because it is in Liverpool's hands, despite Liverpool being fifth and 3 points behind Leicester.
Well, I don't have as much sympathy for Liverpool as you guys do, but I understand that they've had a difficult season. Mm-hmm.
No, I think when all said and done, if they did finish in the top four, considering how important it is to finish in the top four for a club when they'd been written off.
Yeah, because what's transpired, absolutely, to pull that out of the fire would be great.
But I'd say they've resurrected. Maybe a good season might be a bit too much.
But I don't think that they... they've had difficulties and they've had key personnel out for large parts of the season. But that happens to teams all the time. Mm-hmm. And you can't attribute, you know, defeats at home to Burnley, defeats at home to Fulham, 7-2 defeats to Aston Villa with that kind of stuff. That's their own fault and they take responsibility for that. And if those clumsy results that they were better than, despite their players missing, had been better, they wouldn't be in this position.
Yeah. Well, as Jim says, they've got to get past free scoring Crystal Palace.
I know. Yeah. Wow. What an amazing game that was.
God, that was quite something. I thought,
because I have to say, when that game started and it was Benteke getting one, John McGinn getting one, I was thinking, is this just a lineup of players that are going to fuck England over in the summer? Is this a chilling portent of what's to come this summer?
It could well be. Of course, on the Friday night, got us off to a great start of the weekend's footballing action in the Premier League. Yeah. Newcastle 3, Manchester City 4. The old manager of the month curse strikes again for Brucey.
It was... Has he had it enough times?
Well, I don't know. But he said in the post-match, the biggest compliment I can pay them is that it's difficult to sit up against them.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that effusive.
This game feels... Because there's so much football, so much good football this weekend.
Yeah.
This felt like it was such a long time ago.
Yeah, it did, yeah. We have to admit, I mean, Ferran Torres, youngest player to score a hat-trick for a Guardiola side. I mean, for a Guardiola side... Considering, you know, some of the young players he's had, that's impressive.
That is pretty
that little flicked volley.
Oh, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Some people were saying that is he the answer to the Aguero-shaped hole that's going to be found?
Ooh, that's a big suggestion.
I mean, he's done well in that position, isn't he?
The finishing was fantastic. That particular that volley was amazing.
Yeah.
And he was really jolly on the spot for one of the goals as well. Was it the third one when the rebound came out? And he put it
away? That's right. Yeah.
He's the real falsehood of the nine that it's not false at all.
There we go.
It's a double agent nine.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he should be called. It'd be nice to see Joel Linton scoring though again.
Yes, and nice to see Scotty Carson in bins.
Wow, how about that?
Great.
Given his Man City debut.
First game. I couldn't believe this when I heard this, so I looked it up and it is true. First Premier League game for 10 years for Scott Carson.
Yeah, madness.
And everyone, he's a bit of a household name, Scotty Carson.
Yeah,
England
goalkeeper. Completely, yeah.
Surprising to hear that, really.
Yeah, I mean, he's been on loan from Derby since 2019 and hasn't played in those 2 years. So it was nice for Guardiola to give him a run out. He wouldn't have thought conceding three goals against... He did save a penalty, but of course the rebound was knocked in.
It's the epitome of one of the loveliest old jobs in football, this. When you're older goalkeeper, really experienced, you're drafted into a top team just to help out in training, give a bit of experience. You're there as a safe pair of hands if you're unlikely event you're needed.
Yes.
And you get a couple of gigs in the last towards the end of the season.
Rob Green, anyone?
Yeah.
Chelsea?
Mark Schwarzer.
Absolutely. But Green...
Kepa?
When Rob Green... No, there's that photo of him, and I think he's doing it partly in tongue-in-cheek as well when he's lifting the Europa League and he's like, his face is absolutely beaming, a bit like Brendan Rodgers at the final whistle.
It's great.
I
wondered if we were going to talk about Fulham today, but obviously we're not, because they've already been relegated and all the rest of it.
But you want to say well done to Southampton for another victory?
No, what I wanted to say was I was speaking to a mate of mine over the weekend, and randomly we were just talking about Fulham, and he's a Huddersfield Town fan, my mate Adam. And he said he obviously goes to watch Huddersfield quite a lot.
See you next season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you'll be able to see him again. Although Huddersfield, you know, obviously quite fortunate to stay in the Championship this year. But anyway, he said that Huddersfield played Fulham. I can't remember when it was, but he was with the Huddersfield fans. Mm. And Fulham were winning and Huddersfield were looking for an equaliser massively. And the crowd were getting really amongst it and all the rest of it. And he said there's a lot of kind of, you know, Yorkshiremen, you know, kicking off, trying to, because they're desperate for an equaliser. Huddersfield score, right? And everyone celebrates. And then they notice that the flag's gone up and it's offside. And he said this big, bald Yorkshireman shouted out, he saw the flag go up and he went, "Oh, fuck off. Typical London lefty."
Yeah. That's class, isn't it? Well, there's we've got that jingle of Warnock. Yeah. Oh, we're in bloody London.
Yeah, exactly. It's fantastic. Typical London lefty.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Oh, dearie me. Gentlemen, I'd like to end the show with something a little bit different, but still within the realms of football. Dani Alves has been called up to the Brazil squad.
Oh, it's brilliant.
At the age of 38, his form has been that good for Sao Paulo this season. Fair to say he's been a bit of a utility man.
That is incredible. Look, you should make it clear to the listeners exactly what he's been able to achieve.
Yeah. Utility man undersells that massively. Yeah.
He's played eight positions for Sao Paulo at the age of 38.
Yeah, but he's been winning praise as like a creative central midfielder. Yep.
I like the engine on the man.
It's unbelievable. I mean, the modern fullback position is what it is because of him.
Yeah. Well, that, you're absolutely right. I mean, presumably he'd be called up as a fullback because he's obviously his prime position. Mm. 38. And the way Brazil, well, the modern fullbacks, but of course, to add to that, Brazilian fullbacks, and him in particular, the way he likes to get up and down. At the age of 38, do you need that, Danny?
Well, I don't think he's doing that, though, is he? I think he's in the middle a bit more and he's, you know, just pulling the strings.
No, but he won't
be
for Brazil, sure.
Who knows?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
He's got 118 caps already. Yeah. Only two players have got more caps than him as Brazilian players. Do you know who they are?
Romario?
No.
Yes, I think you'll find that is true.
That's in caps, not goals. It's Roberto Carlos and Cafu. Yeah, of other fullbacks.
Yeah.
Incredible fullback domination.
Well, the qualifiers are next month in June. He's not been called up since 2019 after he was crowned best player at the Copa America.
Which is still amazing.
Well, he's very much.
I thought you were going to say since like 2010.
Yeah. So not that far away. Not that far ago, if that's such a sentence. Well done. We look forward to getting in amongst that. Of course, all the international football that's coming just next month, everybody. Marvellous stuff. For a load more content from Football Ramble HQ, if you've liked this show, why not sign up to our Patreon? Andy and I talked about the all-conquering Ajax side of the 70s on the Teams of Our Lives, which is out today. We've also been dreaming up our own Super League clubs. Pete's club... Pete decided that his Super League club would be playing in a flaming gas crater in Turkmenistan. And Jim and I decided our team will play in a reflective silver kit. So for more of that sort of nonsense, head over to patreon.com/footballramble and subscribe now.
Are you not going to mention my illustrious victory in the live stream on Friday night?
You beat, what was his name? I forget.
Joe Brown.
Yeah. Joey B.
I stepped up for the first time and played Luke's game as a contestant against a Patreon subscriber live on YouTube. Uh-huh. Beat him.
And he lost.
Truly, it was Luke's game.
Beat him.
It's more accurate to say he lost.
Well, I beat him.
Yeah, okay.
One for one now. Just got myself a seeding finally. Number one seed. I will play some more live stream Luke's game as well as a contestant if you want to play against me. But you have to be a subscriber to sign up. So do that too.
Get involved. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Vish and Pete will be in your ears.
That will be chaos.
It will be glorious nonsense.
Yeah, it'll be eccentric. To say the least.
To say the least. Well, there we are. Thanks very much for listening to The Ramble. It's been a pleasure having you with us. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.